and strength. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. When we know that all hell is against this revelation, Lord. That means that all hell is against your bride, because your bride is the manifestation of the revelation, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to strengthen, to guide, to bless each one. Lord, we pray for Brother Goomba, that you would just continue to be with him, Lord, and knowing that it's painful, Lord, and the body being broken and dislocated. Lord, that you would just give him a special touch, Lord, and give him deliverance and speedy recovery, Lord, concerning those things. And just, we just commit him to you, and Lord, your blessings upon him. And also ask, Lord, for Sister Sonia and Nick and the children, Lord, for an unspoken request for them, that you would be with them, Lord, and that you would meet their need, that you would give them wisdom and guidance in the decisions and the things they need to do concerning their family, Lord. We just ask your blessings upon them. Help them and guide them. And Lord, each one here, knowing we're each one needy, we each one look to you, Lord, to guide us. We pray you would be with those that are working now and out, Sister Emily, Sister Asenoth, and Brother Richard. Lord, each one, you know every heart, Lord. I may miss one, but you don't miss any, Lord. We just commit each one to you now. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Now, we're happy to be here, and we just thank the Lord for another day. And I was just talking to Goomba out here a while ago, and he had to check up today, and I can't imagine the pain for them to touch it or to do anything, how painful it must be. So may God just help him and just continue to strengthen him. And we know that God is more than able. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small. And we would like for you to put a request before you to remember Sonia and Nick and their family. They're having some challenges right now, and they are in need of prayer. So we want to remember them. And then each one, as we all have needs, let us just pray one for another. So I'd like to pick up now where we left off on Sunday morning. And this is in the message, Invisible Union. And Brother Branham is talking concerning these things, and he's bringing on the seals. He's talking about the seven seals, but you know, he brings in a lot of things. And so I like to touch on some of those things, and sometimes they're not all maybe right on point. Maybe if you wanted just to stay with just that point, you could. And it's hard for me to do that, and I've told you that many times. I guess I don't have to keep repeating myself, but he goes off on little things, and I enjoy it. And so it's hard for me to leave it out. So paragraph 287, we just have a few quotes tonight, so we'll see how we may not get too, I mean, may not take too long here. So paragraph 287, God put it right before you, and you shut your eyes, and you failed to look at it. Yeah, shutting up your bowels of compassion. When you see the true word of God and these seven seals, see, being vindicated and proved to be so. Now, he's talking about this revelation, the present day revelation. That's what he's talking about. And he's talking about people that are shutting their eyes and failing to look at it. And, it's in the religious realm. It's in the political realm. It's in the natural realm. And people, they look out on the street today and they see the way, the condition of the people. They see the way the women are dressing. They see these things. And they just close their eyes and it's like nothing's wrong. In the political realm, they look at what's happening and they see that people are going insane. They're making false claims. They're claiming that men can have babies. They're I don't even want to go into it, but these rich and elite, they're finding out. They may paint a picture that they're protecting the children and they're for the children, and then we're finding out they have these islands they call paradise, and they're pedophiles. And they're pedophiles, and they're bringing children in from other countries, and it's just, it's they're blinded. They're blinded. And so that same thing, it's in every realm. It's in every realm, and it's in the spiritual realm here with the revelation of the day. And so that brings it right in, not to just the denominations. They've ignored it. But so now it's come to the message. And the message believers are ignoring it. They're ignoring the revelation. And you try to tell them, you show it to them in the message, and they're like, well, they just close their eyes to it. They don't want any confrontation, or they don't want to go into the mysteries. They don't want to go into these different things. If you rock that boat, that social boat that they have among the churches, then they have the vast majority. They have the vast majority of the people that claim to be believers. And so they don't want to rock that, and they don't want to be put out of that. They don't want to be looked down upon. And so that in itself is a price that you're going to pay when you believe all of the Word of God. You're going to pay that price because God is going to prove you. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this revelation being vindicated. That vindicated means proven. God has proven it. Just as we read many places where Brother Branham talked about how God proves the messenger. And even these seals being revealed, it proved the messenger. Because God told him a year and 6 months before he went there what's going to happen and what you're going to do and all of that's going to take place. And he told the people. That was a vindication to us that this was the voice of God. It was a vindication. It was God proving it, that it was true. And so if he's proving the messenger, now the messenger is going to speak forth the revelation, that it's a vindication that the revelation is going to be right. And so, and it goes all the way through. And so when these preachers that are so weak, they can't even read the quotes to the people. They're so weak that they won't even put it. They right there, Brother Branham said, they read in their study. They see it. They know it. And they refuse to read it and put it out there before the people. They are blinded to it. They blind themselves. And so it's a powerful force in this day that we live in. It's a powerful force. You shut your eyes and fail to look at it. Shutting up your bowels of compassion. When you see the true word of God and these seven seals being vindicated and proved to be so, witness in the heavens, huh? This message has been witnessed in the heavens. It's been witnessed on the earth. It's been witnessed in the people on the earth. God has proven it by every count, across the nations and everywhere else, by great signs and wonders that he promised he would do. See, and you shut it up and say, and then I just stop right there. I skipped a couple verses and went down. Look what kind of sign that Jesus himself, the incarnated God standing there in human flesh. Remember, we just read that on Sunday. Yeah. Luke 17, Malachi 4, Revelations 10. Yeah. The Word made flesh in this day. The Word made flesh. It's the same thing that happened 2,000 years ago. It's the same thing that happened 3,000 years ago, or however long ago it was in Abraham's day. Yeah. There was God standing there in flesh. And now God coming on the scene and doing the same thing again. Brother Branham took it back to Moses' day. He said the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel through the wilderness, said the same pillar of fire is right here today. Yes, the same pillar manifested himself, and let his picture be taken. Amen. Let his picture be taken among the world. God manifesting, God vindicating, God proving that he is here on the scene. See, look what kind of a sign that Jesus himself, the incarnated God, standing there in human flesh. You say, that was an angel. The Bible said it was God. See, Lord God, Elohim, standing there in human flesh. Now, I love this. I love this. Now, watch him take this and interpret this. That was God, Elohim. That was the Father, the eternal Spirit, made a body just like that, just picked up some dust and blew it and made a body and stepped into it. God manifested himself in flesh in that day. Showing. What did that show? Thousands of years ago, what did that show? Showing that he would so anoint his church in the last days. And God vindicating in this day, again, that he was right here in flesh. And that showing also, that showed it back there. Now here he's showing it again. It's showing that he is going to anoint his church in the last days. We read some of that on Sunday. And that is just, he says it over and over and over again. Proving where God, where the veil of God is at today. Where God is hiding today. Where the manifestation of Jesus Christ is today. It's right here. It's right here in the bride. Not in a building, not in a country. It's in the bride. And that bride, and I love saying it over and over and over, that bride is made up of every tongue and every kindred and every people and every nationality, everything, everyone around the world. God's got one in every tongue and every kindred. To me, that's the most beautiful thing. You can't put it down to a color. You can't put it down to a race. You can't put it down to a country. You can't put it down to anything. God has got a part of that body of every tongue on this earth. Praise be to God. See, as it was, let me read that again. Lord God Elohim, standing there in human flesh, showing that he would so anoint his church in the last days. It'd be God working in human flesh again. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Same kind of thing, see? They see it right there in the Scriptures. People see it in the Scriptures. They see it in the message. They've seen the manifestation through the prophet. They can't see it. Many of them, they some of them see it, but they refuse to walk in it. Others are looking at it and say they don't see it, saying they don't see it anywhere. They're waiting for it. Let me tell you something. I've said it over and over. It's here. It's here in the bride. It's not coming someday. It's here in the bride. This revelation is living in a people. You can be sure, around the world, this revelation is living in a people. God has called them, God has sealed them, and God has brought them into his presence. They are living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus on a daily basis. They are walking with him, and that reality is becoming more real to them. Every day it's becoming more real. And this word, this message is making it more real. And the Spirit that's living in them is making it more real. The more they hear him say it, the Spirit in them is quickening that word that was spoken, and it's becoming more real. Until Satan is having a harder time saying, you're not worthy. You're not, you have this problem. You have this mistake. You have this and this. More and more and more, that's going to the side. And that word in them is speaking out and saying, he said, I'm perfect. He said, I am justified. He said, I have no sin. He said it. See, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Same kind of a thing. They see it right there in the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of this. They are they that testify of what? This manifestation. This manifestation. In Jesus' day, he was talking about that manifestation. Now, Brother Branham's bringing it up to this manifestation. When you're looking at the bride, you're looking at Christ. See? God just fools them every time. It always comes different. It did in Noah's time. It did in Moses' time. It did in Christ's time. See, you remember he talked about how that in every one of those prophets, it was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ, and this one, it was Jesus Christ, and that one. Before Jesus had ever been born. Before it had ever been born, that was Jesus Christ in them men back there. That was Jesus Christ in David back there, the man after God's own heart. And so every one of them was bringing forth that manifestation. And we've been reading in Samuel in devotions and going through what David had went through and how that God put Saul in there, and Saul failed to obey. And God brought the test on Saul, and Saul failed. In every battle, in every war, it was a common thing that you take the spoils and you divide it among the people. The king has the first option, the greater, you know, goes down. But everybody gets a part. Everybody gets a portion. That's just standard. In those days, that was a standard thing. Even in Moses' day, when they went through. But there was a time that God told them, when he was first testing them, first training them, bringing them into the first battles, he said, when you go in, you don't let anything live. Man, woman, child, animals, you don't let nothing live. You destroy everything. So somebody kept something. Somebody kept something, and it caused so many men to die. I don't know if it's 16 men, 18, 19, something like that. So many died because the word had failed to be obeyed. And so there was a reckoning. There was a judgment for that. And then after that testing time, God was weeding out that unbelief. And God was getting the people into obedience. As the scripture says, obedience is better than sacrifice. And so that's what Saul thought when he kept them. He thought, oh, these are for the Lord. These are for sacrifice. No, God said, destroy every bit of it. Then after that, in Moses' day, after that, they went into the battle and God said, okay, you can have all the spoils. You just defeat them and you can have all the spoils. You just kill them. You have all the spoils. You keep everything. Why didn't they get that in the first one? Because God put them on notice. And so was it with Saul. The first battle they went into, God said, you destroy everything. And Saul put his own idea to it. Saul was helping God, like Sarah tried to help God, and said, oh, all of this, we saved the best. And he brought the king back too. God wanted it utterly destroyed. And then after that, they could divide the spoils just like they always had. It only matters one thing. What did God say? What did God say? It don't matter what our tradition is. It don't matter what our culture is. It don't matter how we've been doing it. What matters right now is what did God say that we do right now? What we do tomorrow, that's God can come back and say, okay, you can go back to doing it just like you was. You divide the spoils. But today, I want everything destroyed. God is making this bride ready. God is bringing this bride to maturity. He's bringing that life, that word, that revelation to maturity in her. It's growing. It's maturing. And it's building a faith in her that she is not wondering as much and worrying as much as she did when she was young in the revelation. She's becoming more strong and she's becoming more sure. And she's coming to that place when she speaks, it's him speaking. And that's what he wants. That's what he's been working on all the time. We can look at David and we can say all of his faults, all of his failures, all of his problems, all that he went through. But the scripture said that he was a man after God's own heart. And so the thing that God was admiring was not that David committed adultery. It wasn't that David had her husband killed. God didn't want that. That was David's flesh. But there was there a man after God's own heart. Because when Saul came after him, when Saul failed to obey God, and then Saul, seeing that God had anointed David to be the king, Saul knew he was going to be the king. Saul spoke with his own lips and said, "You're going to be the king, and you're going to be a great leader. You're going to be a great man." Told him that more than once. David would not touch Saul under any circumstances. All the way through, you read it. You read 1 Samuel, and you watch. Every time David, not every time, but David constantly refers to Saul as God's anointed. God's anointed. God's anointed. That respect right there is what God loved about David, or one of the things that God loved about David. Because David would not let anybody. His men wanted to kill Saul. He said, "We can end this thing right now." Saul had disrupted his life. Saul was chasing him around the country. Saul had made him send his family to another country because Saul would kill them and murder the whole family of his own tribe. They were the same tribe. Of his own tribe, he would kill those people. And he did. He killed a family of 85 priests because they had gave David the showbread. The scripture said that an evil spirit from God had came upon Saul. And David only recognized one thing, that God had anointed him king. He didn't look at his failures. He didn't look at that evil spirit. He didn't look at anything else that was going on with Saul. He held it to one thing, and that was God anointed him the king. David knew that he had been anointed too. But David was not going to be the man that killed him. Or that put himself in that place. That's it. You see the difference? Amen. Saul wanted that place so bad that he was willing to kill priests. He was willing to kill people. He was willing to kill God's anointed, the one who was to be the king. He was willing to kill anybody to maintain that place and that power. And David was not. David refused. You talk about David had an opportunity twice. Twice. One time he cut his skirt off and he felt ashamed because he had done it. The second time he took his sepulcher and something else. Took two items from beside him. Both times David's men wanted to kill. And he refused to let him do it. And both times David told him. And both times Saul said, "You're a better man than me. You're a more righteous man than me." And the first time, he told him, he said, I won't follow you no more. And he turned right around and come after him again. It's amazing. You watch those spirits. You watch those spirits. Because those spirits are still here. They're still here, and you see them moving among the religious realm. They're still there. And then when Saul killed himself. He was wounded. He killed himself. He fell on his sword. Then an Amalekite comes back and tells David that he killed Saul. Think about that. He thought he was going to find favor with David. And David said, your words have brought your death. Because you have said that you have killed God's anointed. See, David never changed. He'd been chased around the country. His life was in peril. He suffered. He sacrificed. He did without. Even his wives. He had two wives with him. And he was dragging them around from here to there, living in the forest, living in the woods, living in the fields. All they had to do was kill him. And that Amalekite lost his life that day. You talk about a man after God's own heart. You know what David did? David said he called for all of Israel to mourn for Saul. I think I would have had a hard time with that. I think I'd have had a hard time. I'd think, this guy's chased me all over the country. This guy's got an evil spirit on him. This guy's got this and this and this, and they had a list. I think I'd just be saying, "But I'm glad he's gone." David mourned. He truly mourned for Saul and Jonathan. God was doing something. The Bible says that spirit, that evil spirit, was sent from God. God had a reason. God had a purpose. And David held on to one thing, and that was God's anointed, and he didn't touch it. I think there's a big lesson for us there. I think there's a big lesson. And to show, and all of Israel knew. The rumors went around. The rumors went around. They knew that David had been anointed. But because of blindness, because of ego, because of all of those things, after Saul was dead, Abner, instead of conceding and acknowledging that God had anointed David the king, he ran off and took one of Saul's sons and put him king over Israel. And he divided Israel. That's what he did. He divided Israel right there. Put those things in the spiritual. Put them in the spiritual and look how Satan has worked.
That's right.
All the way through, Satan has done the same thing. Mm-hmm. That way you see in the natural, the same things happen in the spiritual.
Yes, sir.
So David ended up king over Judah and the son over Israel, the rest. And it's just amazing. Just amazing. But God was with David. God loved all of Israel, but the favor was on David. And you see that when Abner and Joab met one day at the river, and one army was on one side and one was on the other. And they were going to play games. And this is kind of sad, because this is what our leaders do. They just play games with people's lives. But they said, "Let us send 12 young men from each side, and let's just let them kill each other." And so they did. They agreed, and so they sent out, and all 12 of Abner's was killed by the 12 of David's. Showed where the favor was. God had anointed David the king. God just fools them every time. It always comes different. It did in Noah's time. It did in Moses' time. It did in Christ's time. Did in John's time. Did in the disciples' time. Did it in Wesley's time. Did it in Luther's time. Did it in Pentecostal's time. And so is it again. It did it in this day right here that we're living in. It don't change its pattern. See? Brother Branham talks about that pattern. God's pattern. And he said, what's the pattern? He said it blinds one and is revealed to another. It blinds one and is revealed to another. That's God's pattern. That's how it's always come. God brings the mystery. He always brings it in a mystery. And the mystery is hidden to one side and revealed to the other side. That's God's pattern. See? Always comes the same thing. Only reformers through them 6 ages till the 7th. And Revelation 10 said, in this hour, it'll change. And it did. And it did. What changed? It wasn't a reformer anymore. It was a prophet. It was a prophet to whom the word comes to. Paragraph 300. Now we're closing in saying this. Finish up the Great Commission? How could they do it? We know that they're dead. God let it die in this scientific age, all of it, so he could do what? Open up the seven seal mystery. So he could open the seven seal mystery for them to finish. Notice what he's saying. For them to finish the Great Commission, how could they do it? They were in no condition to do it. They were blinded to the very thing that would finish it. They were blinded to the very thing that was going to close the church ages. They were blinded to the thing that was going to complete the Bible, complete the revelation of the Bible. And Brother Branham said, though all the Bible was complete, then come those seven thunder mysteries. So that had to be finished. That had to be done. See, God let it die in this scientific age. So he could do what? Open up the seven seal mystery to the undenominational bride. How can a denomination accept those seven seals when it's absolutely contrary? Serpent seed, all those other things, the whole, full seven mysteries is contrary to what they've been taught, because they took the old school from their Bible school. That's what they did. And that's where they still are. And he's talking about the mysteries. And we mentioned this early on, that sometimes he's talking about the seven seals, and he's talking about the seals being revealed and the sixth seal mystery being revealed of what happened over the last 2,000 years. And sometimes he's talking about the seven seals, and he's talking about the seven thunders. He's talking about the mystery of the seven thunders. And so when he's talking about what happened through the church ages, he's talking about what everybody was seeing, and now the symbols that were written there are being revealed, and the history of it's being revealed. But when he's talking about that part of it that had been hidden from the foundation of the world, those mysteries that are hidden from the foundation of the world, now then he's talking about the seven thunders. That is what had not been known. That had been spoken to John. It had not been written, and it had to be spoken in this day. Those mysteries were contrary to what they've been taught, because they took the old school from their Bible school. And the seven seals of God, when it was opened there on the mountain, God, let me die right now at this pulpit, if that ain't the truth. And I foretold you a year and 6 months before it happened, what he told me. See? Go to Arizona, and what would happen out there on the desert? And there's men sitting right here tonight, was sitting right there and present. When those seven angels came down, there was men with the prophet. And when those seven angels came down, see, present, when those seven angels come down, see, and the magazine, Life Magazine, packed the article of it. It's right there in the observatory, everything, and they don't know what it's all about. So there were witnesses when those seven angels came. God had to open up those seven seals, not in a denomination. I've always been against it. But out of denomination, that he might take a bride, not a denominational bride. He couldn't do it. It's against his own word. He opened those seven mysteries in there that shows forth and brings those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world. That, see, that might be revealed in the last days to sons of God. Praise God. They brought that forth now before the people, that they see it, you know, to this undenominational bride. Praise be to God. What God has given us, what God has done for us. It's hidden to the world. And that's something. And just because a person says they believe the prophet, or they believe the message, or they go to a message church, just because those words come out of their mouths, that does not mean they have a revelation. That does not mean that they see those seven thunder mysteries. There's a lot of interpretations out there. There's a lot of ideas out there. But when God reveals those seven thunder mysteries, they are going to go on display. They are going to be manifested and vindicated in that life. And that person no longer has the need to be accepted socially by the big churches. No, that's no longer their goal in life. That's no longer their premise. No longer now are they looking at that as a standard.
Amen.
Now they're looking only at the Word.
Yeah, right.
And whatever the Word says, that's their standard now. And whatever everybody else does now, that's no longer their concern. Their concern is the revelation.
Amen.
And that's the difference.
Amen. That's right.
If you go to these big churches, there's so many people sitting there that some of them don't have a clue. Unless that preacher talks about it, they don't have a clue. I gave examples before. I told you I was talking to a young man, a grown man with a family, wife, children, going to message churches. And one day I got the opportunity. He'd done some work for me a few times. And I thought, I'm going to talk to him. And I asked him, I said, what do you think about those seven thunders? I said, do you think they're revealed or not? He said, the what? I said, the seven thunders. He said, what's that? So at first I thought he was just joking. And I said, you never heard Brother Branham mention the seven thunders? He said, no. I said, your pastor never mentioned the seven thunders? He said, no. I said, really? Really? He said, I've never heard of the seven thunders. I said, that's amazing. That's amazing. And that's how it is. And some people heard about it, but they don't want to talk about it. Or they don't want you to talk about it. They don't want you to share with them anything about it. Why? They don't want to know. That's the problem. They don't want to know. They're afraid to know it. That's why you can go to some of these churches and they'll tell you before you get there, we don't want none of that controversial stuff. We don't want none of those mystery stuff. We just want right what the Bible says. Well, that's just like telling me you just don't believe the message of the hour. You're just telling me you don't believe the message of the hour. Because, and actually, you're telling me you don't believe the Bible. Because it's the Bible made manifest. It's the life of the Bible made manifest in this day. It's Revelation 10 made manifest. It's Malachi 4 made manifest. It's Luke 17 made manifest. It's Joel 2 made manifest. Amos 3:7. It's all through the Scripture. It was promised what God was going to do in this last day, and He's done it. He's doing it in His bride. Notice David's objective. We're in trying to do God a service without it being His will. See, notice David's objective. He was bringing the ark to his own house. That wasn't the capital. That wasn't the place. See, it belonged in Jerusalem. But David was bringing it to his own house. He wanted the revival to be on his own denomination. See, if you're Assembly, all right. If you're Oneness, all right. If you're Pentecostal, okay. Like somebody said, Brother Branham, notice now, David got out of the will of God. And this is where it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. You'll notice when he was out there being chased all over the country by Saul, that it was all about God. It was all about God. And this is still about God. This is still, he wants the ark, but he wants it at his house. He wants it for himself. And so was it when he took Bathsheba. And so was it when he killed Uzziah. It was all about him. All about him. That was after he got on Easy Street. After he got up on the throne. After he got to relax. After everything was given to him. And it was no more battle. There was no more struggle. There was no more strife. Then he just got he got to lay back and enjoy it. And the Scripture says that David stayed home, and I can't remember exactly how the Scripture, it's been years since I read it, but in the time when kings go to battle, David was supposed to be out there with them. The king don't go to battle in the winter. The king don't go to battle in the hard times. The king don't go to battle when it's overwhelming. But this was in the springtime. Everything was good. Everything was smooth. This was a sure battle they were going to win. So it was a time. The Bible said it was a time when kings go to battle. David stayed home. And he stayed home and he got in trouble. Listen to this. This is really... Like somebody said, Brother Branham, how you ever have anybody to listen to you? Said, I can see Billy Graham. He's got every denomination in the country with him. I can see Oral Roberts. Every Pentecostal hangs right onto him. Said, but you're against the whole thing. Uh-huh. Said, how in the world do you ever get anybody? Huh? Why does anybody come listen to you? He said, it's God. That's what people want. That's what people want. They want somebody who's going to tell the truth. They want somebody that is going to stand for what's right and stand against wrong. That's what they want. You know what? Most of those, but not all of them, you can't say that. Usually you can never say that. A lot of the people that came in this message came out of churches. But not all of them. But a lot of them was in church. They were just doing the best they could until something more real came along. The others, and I'm in the latter, I didn't go because I didn't see anything to it. Although I guess in my heart, my mind, I thought there's something. But I didn't see anything in the church. I didn't see God in the denominational churches. And so I still would have been better off if I would have been in there, because at least in some of those churches, it increases your morals. It increases this. It does this. It helps bring up the moral standard in a lot of ways. There's, if you didn't have nothing, that would be better than nothing. But it's not the real thing. It's not the reality that God wants us to have. And so a lot of people would never even go because they couldn't see a reality there. But when the reality come, then they started coming out of the churches. Then they started going to church. Then they started having a relationship with God, because now they see something real. And millions of others were looking at the same thing that those that came out saw. But it didn't do anything for them. They didn't do anything for them. They stayed right there where they were. I said, it's God. I, the Lord, hath planted it before the foundation of the world. I love that. That's the abstract. When you go back before the foundation of the world, that's the abstract. I'll water it day and night, unless some of them should pluck it from my hand. Isaiah. I'll water it. I planted it. I put their names on the book before the foundation of the world by predestination. I'll water it. Just keep on moving. I'll furnish the water. You just spray it out, right? See? I'll water it day and night unless one of them gets plucked out of my hand. See, there you are. Because none of them will get plucked out of his hand. None of them can. Not that genuine seed. Paragraph 312. See? He wanted to come to the city of David, the city of Jerusalem. There was no place ready for it at that time. And so is it today. These great mysteries that's been unfolded by the seven seals, there's not a place in any denomination. This has got to be placed by God in the right place. This can't be placed in denominations. This can't be placed in man's hands. This can't be placed in any of that. This has got to have a place prepared. And Brother Branham said the earth has to be prepared to receive the seed. I don't know anybody in any country that gets ready to plant their corn or their wheat or their beans or their peas and walk out there in the field and throw it out there. See anybody do that? No. they're going to do any good? No. They're going to plow that grass. They're going to dig up that grass. They're going to turn it over. They're going to chop it up. They're going to prepare it for the seed. Because it's got to be prepared. And God prepared it. He prepared you before the foundation of the world. And then when the time came, then He put it right there. And those vessels that are made up of every tongue and every nation and every kindred, God prepared them for this hour, for this revelation. And they're the only ones that are going to get it. They're the only ones that can see it, that can manifest it. See, so is it today. These great mysteries that's been unfolded by the seven seals, there's not a place in any denomination that would have to quit being a denomination to take it, see? All the way from Luther on down to the Pentecostals, oneness, there's not a place can receive it. Neither can a man receive it and stay in his denomination. Is that right? You cannot receive this and stay there. You can't do it. Now, I've talked to the children before. We do not play in church. We do not play in church. And when you come and ask to sit by somebody, and you beg to sit by somebody, then you're being allowed to because you're being trusted that you're going to sit like a grown-up, and not play because this is too serious. This is too serious of a thing. This is the one thing we don't play with. We do not play. All the way from Luther down to Pentecostal oneness, there's not a place can receive it. Neither can a man receive it and stay in his denomination. See? He'll have to follow the wheat or go with the shock. Either one he wants to. He's going to follow the wheat or he's going to go with the shock. That's right. One or the other. I just lost my place here. Sorry for that. I don't like to do that, but sometime it has to be done. Paragraph 313. Christ is our ark, the Word. They want their denomination. He cannot, notice, cannot be carried on the new carts of the denominations. His message cannot go on the cart of a new denomination when it's supposed to be bore and come on the heart of a prophet. It cannot. He promised it. He would be thus. And that's the way it must be. So the denomination will never receive it. Neither can they receive it. And they're just as blinded to it as the Jews was when they hung Jesus to the cross. Just as blinded. And when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they don't even know what they're doing. Don't despise them. But just think, for what if you was in that same condition with your eyes so blind that you can't wake up and see what's going on? It's that easy. It's the grace of God. It is only the grace of God that allows it. That's right. I've been listening to a Jewish teacher, and I was telling my wife about it today. And one of the things he was talking about, God had blessed him, and he's had a lot of achievements in life. And somebody was asking his father, telling his father, and the Jew's mindset is totally different than ours. And by listening to this guy, I realized he said a lot of things that were really striking to me. And has a very good understanding of the condition of the world and the problems in the world. But they look at things in a more carnal, a more natural way, I'll say. And so, anyways, he was saying that this person, because he had so much achievement in his life, said, this person was telling his father, and he happened to hear it. He was close enough that he heard this being asked and answered. And the person said, you must have been a wonderful father. You must have just been an amazing father because of your son. Look in what your son has done and the achievements that he's had in life. And he said, his father said, I was very lucky. I was very lucky. Now, we know it's not luck. Because we look at it differently, but he used that word a lot. That, you know, you're lucky for this, you're lucky for that. But I thought that, and his point was this, and he clarified it. He said, I know a lot of good people, good parents, that have bad children. And he said, I know a lot of bad parents that have good children.
That's
true. Yep. So it's not up to you. You do the best you can do.
Yeah.
You raise them the way that's right.
Yeah.
If your child turns out to be a school shooter, I don't think that any parent is teaching their children to go to school and shoot other kids. I don't think anybody's teaching them that. So, but in this day and age, there's a spirit that's in the world that is causing a lot of these things. Part of it is bad parenting. I'm not going to take away from that. It is. And the children are, some of them are bad. But the point is, if we could control what our children do, then they would all be just perfect. They would be better than us because we expect more out of our children than even that we do sometimes. Because we put them under a microscope, do this, do this, do this. And it's all good. You want them to be good. You want them to be better. You want them to do the best they can. But at the same time, there's only so much you can do, and you're dependent on the one who's in control of this thing. You're depending on him to make this. He's the one who promised. If you'll teach them, when they get older, it will come back to their remembrance. It will come back. It's not going to make them a seed, but it's going to come back to them.
That's right.
It'll come back to them. And that's what we want. And he's going to get every one of his. He's going to get every one of his. Neither could they see that that was their very God when he was hanging there on the cross. See? Them singing the 22nd Psalms in the temple 200 yards away. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They pierce my feet and my hands, see? All my bones, they stare at me. Why hast thou forsaken me? And there, the very God that they had sung about, blind enough to have him tacked to the cross and didn't know it. Think. People rejecting this revelation today. People rejecting the presence of God today. Now, don't the Bible say that the Laodicean church that thinks that she's so great by her denominational members, she's been naked, miserable, poor, blind, see, naked, and don't know it? What does the blind mean? The blind means for this Laodicean age, like it did at the ending of the Jewish church, see, blind to the very Christ that they had on the outside, knocking, trying to get in. The very God that they're looking for, the very God that they're praying to. You went to the gym the other day, and you know how the women dress. You know how the women dress. It's pretty bad. But one of them had a shirt on, and on the back said, "He's coming. And he's coming soon." And I thought, that's great. But she wasn't dressed like he was coming. She wasn't dressed like she was expecting to be in the presence of a holy God. That's the difference. That's the difference, because when you come into the presence of a holy God, then it does something to you. Your whole, your everything about you, the way you dress, the way you think, the way you approach, your humility, everything about that, because you are in the presence of a holy God. And when you recognize that he's here and that he's invited you into his presence, that's why things are serious. That's why it's not something to joke about. It's not something to take lightly. It's something to be serious about. Why can't the wheat lay out in the presence of that sun yonder to see the hour we're living in? Yes, Christ is our ark. But his original way to do it, see? Then here he is. They had his spirit, all right. We know that. They that wait on the Lord, see, his plan on the original word in its season to be vindicated. That's what we should be doing right now. He reveals their faith by his word. He reveals their faith by his word. What is their faith? The revelation. He reveals their revelation by the word. He's proving. If you're coming with a Baptist faith, he's going to prove it by the word. That's right. You come with a Methodist revelation, he's going to prove it by the word. He's going to prove it. You might have this, be anointed. You might have the Spirit. You might have all of that. That promise is there. But he's going to prove your revelation. He's going to prove your faith. Seeing him confirm every plan that he promised. Not man's schemes of denominations. Not making members for our own ark. They got a Methodist ark and a Baptist ark and a Presbyterian ark. Everybody's going into this ark for the great tribulation coming. I was baptized in the Methodist ark, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. There's only one ark, and that's Jesus Christ, and he's the Word. He is the Word. And that's the only place that we can be. That's right. Let me just scroll a little bit right here. Yeah, paragraph 319. Notice God told the prophet, said, eat the scroll in the Old Testament. The prophet of the New Testament, he said, eat the little book. Why? The prophet and the word would be one. See? That's the ark, the word of God. We got to eat that too. We got to eat the same thing he's eating. God has promised his word, how it would be fulfilled, and how it would come to pass when he chose his bride. How it would be done. It's happening right before you in the name of the Lord. And that's by the original word. The evening time message is here. Oh, that's a powerful statement. But he makes it very clear that it's here, that he's choosing his bride right now, that in all that he has promised, that he's fulfilling it, and it's coming to pass right now while he's choosing the bride, sealing the bride, calling the bride. He told us how it would be done. Did he? Did he tell us how it would be done?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. He said there would be a shout, and a message would come forth and call the bride.
Yes.
It would get the attention of the bride. And there would be signs and wonders, and there would be miracles, and there would be healings. There would be all of those things. And then would come a message. And that message would gather the people together. And it would gather them together. And then those seven thunder mysteries that would only be known to one group of people, that would bring rapturing faith. That would bring them into a higher faith, a higher revelation, into a higher place. That's the promise. That's the promise. And it's right in the Bible. It's right in the Bible, the prophet confirming. Now, he says, it's happening right before you. That's the part we want to capitalize on. So, it's happening. It's happening in the elect. And so, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see somebody's faults. I want to see that word living in that person.
Yes,
as long as we live in this flesh, we're going to have mistakes. We're going to have faults. We're going to have failures. We're going to be always working on this flesh. But there's something on the inside that is perfect. And that perfection cannot disbelieve the word. Though I might say things sometime I wish I hadn't said, and I got to come back and say, I'm sorry I said it. There's something on the inside that's perfect.
Amen.
There's something on the inside that God has already, that God is working on.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham said, that soul in there, that's what God is working on.
Amen.
That's the thing that he is bringing forth, the manifestation of himself.
Right.
Of himself. That's the thing.
Yes.
See, it's happening right before you. That when people tell me they can't see it, they don't see it anywhere, they don't know. I'd like to point them. I'd like to point them to the bride. See, it's happening right before you in the name of the Lord. And that's by the original word. The evening time message is here. How many remembers Haywood when he wrote, "It shall be light about the evening time. The path to glory you will surely find." Yes, the evening promise of the seven seals, of Revelation 10, of Malachi 4, Luke 17. See? Read Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 4. Then the 25th and 26th verse. See what he said about for this last day. This was Moses saying to Israel, keep every word. Don't you add one thing. Moses, that prophet, had been up there and seen that word of God. And it was wrote out to him. Listen, put the prophet in there. Put our prophet in there. He was up there and he seen it. And it was wrote out. See, and vindicated by God's own hand writing it. He said, you keep every word. Don't you add one thing to it or one thing from it. See, you can read that in the 25th and 26th verse of Deuteronomy 4. Notice, don't you add to it. Don't you take away from it. Because if you do, God will take your part out of the book of life. See, and it shows that you wasn't his seed. Remember, everything that God has promised us, everything that God spoke to us, everything that's been told to you in the name of the Lord, it has happened.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Has anything failed?
No, sir.
God don't fail.
That's right.
It has happened. God has never made one promise null, but he kept every promise that he said, has told us, has been the truth for these 20 years, report. I preach to you through the power of God and the courtesy of your pastor. And I take you to record today, even to women past bearing, man, children, afflictions, healing, prophecy, things that would happen. Not one of them has ever failed. Now stay away from those denominations. They're leading you to death.
That's right.
That spirit was on them.
Yep.
That spirit was on Jack Moore. That spirit was there, and the prophet was crying out, stay away from that thing. Stay away from it. You say, well, that don't apply to us. It does apply to us because they're denominating this message. They're not denomination of the revelation. They're denominating around the message and calling themselves message churches, message believers. Don't get caught in that. Stay with the revelation. Brother, if the works of Luke 17:30, the promise of Jesus Christ just before his coming, that the world would turn back to Sodom and the messengers would go out and the things would be done just exactly, if that isn't taking place, then don't believe me that I've told you the truth. Notice how many times he's identifying right now, right now, right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening right now. See? But if it's taking place, then believe that it's him. See? In the day, that day that the Son of Man will be revealed. Amen. The Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh. You people, the church. just exactly like it was before the days of Sodom. A called out group away from all of them, setting out believing the promise of God. Why did Abraham not have to be called out of Sodom? Because he wasn't there. Because he had already separated himself. He had already came out. And he wouldn't put up with any of that with Lot. He said, we're family. Let's not fight. You take whatever you want. He offered him the best. You take whatever you want. And he said, I'll take the other. I'm closing now. The works that the Holy Spirit is doing today, who is doing it? The Holy Spirit. God is doing this thing. By these visions never failing, promises never failing, all the apostolic signs promised in the Bible of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7, all of that is being fulfilled and proved by scientific and every other way. And if I haven't told you the truth, these things would not happen. This prophet is trying to get these people to come into this revelation. He'd been preaching to them for years and years and years. They've seen the power of God. They've seen the vindication of God. They've seen the supernatural over and over and over. And now he's telling them, if all of that was true, look at the revelation of these seven thunders. Look at these mysteries that were hidden from the foundation of the world. Now, if all of that God vindicated and proved it, now he's proving it so you will know I'm telling you the truth. So you will know that this is it. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the manifestation, I love this quote, and the manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride. Let that faith revelation fall into your heart that this is the hour. Amen. Praise be to God. I'm going to stop right there. Oh my. That is just a wonderful, wonderful. The manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride. You talk about rapturing. That's it. That's what it's always been. It's always been his spirit catching the people away for the age that they lived in. It was God revealing to that people and bringing them out and bringing them in to himself. Oh, praise be to his lovely name. He's so good. So good. We thank him. We praise him. And we appreciate you tonight, your patience. And I don't know if Brother Goomba feels like it or not. I don't want him to. If you feel like it, come, Brother. We'd love to hear you say something. So I know this hasn't been easy. I just can't imagine what our brother's been going through. And so I'm going to have to give him bless you. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. I'm not really dressed for pulpit. I'm sorry. I can't dress very well because I keep on. I've only one heart, and my heart is left hand. I'm usually right hand, so I use my left hand. I'm using my left hand now, and it's very hard. I'm even eating. I'm really amazed now. When I eat, all the food comes. This heart is not very good. But I'm trying. Thank you very much. I'll start with that. But I'm very thankful for your prayers. And I'm sorry that on Sunday, Bride came and told me that you were coming. And I was expecting that. I was supposed to take my medicine. And that medicine was very bad medicine. I don't like it. Of course, they're saying it's also addictive. It's also addictive.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And but it is making me, even when the pain goes, it's making me very, like it's not, I can't talk well. I'm still kind of asleep or something. I don't like that. And I said, I'm not going to take it because my brothers would come. And I'm sorry, brothers, because I cannot read from now. I didn't take it. Like, I think the last one, I was supposed to take it around 11. I think around 11. I didn't take it. So I waited, and when people finished around 1, around that time, I thought now they'll come. And then I laid on the couch, and I was reading the couch. And I'm not trying to bring when I know, you know, it's time and people need to talk a bit. And I'm feeling sorry that it came to a place where I could not wait any longer. Around 4, I had to take it. It was so painful and uncomfortable, and I went to bed. And that's why Emily wrote that I've gone back to bed. And when I take it, brother, he just look at me. I look miserable. But around that time, around 5 or 6, something, 2 or 6. I think Joe brought Arsenal. And somebody said Joe brought Arsenal. I had some dogs back. And I wished that Emily didn't like that. I wanted you to come. And I mean, you can see me just like that, but you wouldn't have liked me. So I would come out like that, and I go to Joe, just go back, brother, just go back. And he told me like that, and I just greeted him like that. And I tried to smile, but I think he still found that it was not very good with me. I tried to pretend that everything was okay. It was not coming out right, so he told me to go back to sleep, and I went back. But anyway, I'm very thankful. The Lord has really been working it very well. The following day, Brother Keenan brought some other medicine. I said, I'm not going to take it again. It's taking the pain away. It's very strong, and it's taking it very fast. But at the same time, what it's doing me, I don't like it. It's also making me very high, like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So now, Brother Keenan brought me some medicine that he had been given. He's been also had a bad knee. Mm-hmm. So he brought that medicine. And I think Glenn had also something. And he brought me those two medicines. And I had not taken the other one. He said, now, if you're not taking the other, just take it right now. And I took it, brother. And ever since that time, I just take it, and I'm there. I'm good. And I really thank the Lord for that. And you people coming the other day, the way you come, I really love it. Michael came last night. He was bringing aspirin. And I told Michael, it's been discovered in Kenya. It's something that's been researched in Kenya. I don't know here. But those people in the hospitals where they come to be seen by their relatives and loved ones, they get healed faster
yes.
than those who are. I don't know where they got that from. But it's scientific now. Mm-hmm. It's not only scientific, but the Lord Jesus said that he gave life eternal to those people who came to see him. And they asked him, when did we come to see you, Jesus? And they said, when you came to see these little ones of mine. and all things, another thing I would like to say here about this, your prayers is really appreciated. I'm very happy. God bless you. But also say something. All things work together for good.
Amen.
I've seen it. I've seen why. I know why. 5 minutes before this happened, I saw something, and I said, this is not right. And I could not get, let me say this, I should have actually moved away right from them and just put down, called the whoever I was working for, and it's done, it will be another day. I was getting away from the Lord, I would say that. I was getting away. So, you know, you may not tell, but I know how I deal with the Lord. I know it, and it was not as close as it's supposed to be. And it was not getting there where I wanted. And I got up. I want to go to Kenya. I want to. I'm giving reasons. This is David was giving reasons. This ark is supposed to be in Jerusalem and not where it is. But there is a way to do it. So I got myself caught up in being busy a bit. And that's not my life. And another thing I was feeling, brothers and sisters, and that has also been a very wrong thing to look at things like that, and God wanted that changed also, is I don't look myself as somebody who can help anybody anyways. I don't look at myself as somebody who really serves the Lord in a thing that, in other words, God can do without me. I mean, it's not necessary. My service is just there because I'm there. I can see something. That's how I've taken myself. And that's me. So even if I don't do much, it's okay. And that caught me a bit this last few days, about two weeks so forth. I think the Lord didn't want that. You can call it my interpretation, but every one of us knows how they speak with the Lord. And now I'm telling you that because I know that's how the Lord wants you. And from there on, after this happened, people cried, people talked to me over the phone. You don't know. We don't want you to go. And I didn't even know. Some people have not even talked because we have disagreed. But they're coming up with, if it was not you, I would not have come to this. If it was not you, this was completely, I didn't even think it existed. And very many people would come and tell me how. And then I told myself, Lord, are you telling me that I'm false when I'm saying I'm not doing anything in your kingdom? Are you telling that? And that is my way of looking at it, that the Lord wanted me to. And I can tell you, study and tell you, this happened, and things are happening like that. And I'll tell you this, you know, when such a thing happens, you feel like, why it happened to me? That did not come to me. Why did the Lord do that to me? That did not, I was just thanking the Lord. Of course, the first few seconds, I didn't know where I was. And when I came to, I just told the Lord, if I'm going home, just take me home. I thought I was going. And I told the Lord, take me home. Take all my sins away. In everything I've done, Lord, just take it away. Give me this chance maybe to repent or to make it right. I'm sorry for anything that you think I've done wrong. I've failed you, Lord. Forgive me and take me home. And after that, I heard the machino still. The power saw, is it called chainsaw? and I stopped it, and then I remembered Brian was here. I called Brian. Brian was not here, so I found myself, I'm alone now again. And I'm still here. I got only this heart was able to raise up, so I was able to take, even my legs were not, I was hit at the back. They are saying it's not broken, it's okay, and it's not, but I could not raise my legs up, so I took my phone out. And Kenan says he was the first person that I called, Kenan. But I didn't remember calling Kenan. I remember that phone kind of dropping, and again, I felt like, okay, I'm helpless. And then something came up, picked it up again, and called 911. And again, dropping it. And he called me back and said, no, don't drop it. Please breathe for me. Please breathe for me. And he's trying to encourage me. And don't get away from the phone. Just stay there with me. And I said, okay, please help me. And they come. And they come is when Gabe came. And the first person to see that I saw was Gabe. And Gabe thought I was joking. Because sometimes I lay down with them and I scream like that, I'm afraid, you know. When he saw the blood, he thought, this is not a joke now. And I said, you get serious. I could see that, and I realized that was. But they came to see what the ambulance was doing there, near where their home, or where they were, the home where they were playing in. So they come to me to see. And then the next thing I saw, Brian. And I like that. Brian, I like that. Don't feel bad. I like that. Sometimes you don't remember that. When Brian came, they thought she was just crying. She laid her face and my face, and she was just calling upon the name of the Lord. And of course, she was calling Daddy. I could hear the word Daddy, Daddy. And I could hear her praying and calling upon the name of the Lord and like that. And they don't understand what that is. So they kind of push her away. So they kind of, and I also understand them. I understand them and the whole thing. I understand it. But that's the thing to do. Even if you don't pray there, whatever you do, the first thing is to, he is the nearest help. Amen. In times of the need.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we think it's 911. Sometimes we think they are paramedics, mm-hmm. the doctor. That's what we think. Mm-hmm. But that scripture is true. He is the nearest help in times of need.
Amen.
And I have testimony that I can give. What I've seen the Lord do. He's the nearest help. Don't you ever forget that. He's the nearest help in times of need.
Amen.
So that was very good. And after that, it's a long story. But he's here now. They're going to operate me on Monday. That's where it's at. They're going to operate me on Monday. And I'm really thankful. Everything is going on well. I don't have like a complaint in my heart. I don't have like grieving. I don't have that. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm in pain sometimes. Before I take the other medicine, sometimes it's hurting. And very, very uncomfortable. I'm sleeping. I cannot sleep like this. I cannot sleep like this. I cannot sleep. It is very uncomfortable. But all this, I'm very, I don't know who I am. Some joy. I don't know where it's coming from. I just, I'm just happy and at peace. And I love the Lord so much. And I know it's for a purpose.
Amen.
Even those things I'm seeing that maybe it's good, it's this, it's because of this. There might be more, I don't know. But one thing is, the Lord want me to be closer to Him. The prophet said that He gives us strength. It's in Job. It's in Job, I think, Job 9. He gives us strength. By those things that we suffer, He gives us strength. And I know that He is giving me a strength. And it doesn't need to go like that with each one of you or with you people. One thing I would say, make sure you don't go backwards.
Amen.
You are going forward.
Amen.
We are moving forward. If you see anything that is making you move, any other side, die to it. Leave it alone. Just whatever it is, go forward. We are moving
Amen.
Forward, not backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because the prophet in the book called Why Cry Speak?
Amen.
He says this. If you knew your position, you'd save God a lot of time or a lot of trouble. I don't remember where time or trouble. You'd save God a lot of trouble and yourself.
Amen.
If you're a son of God, you'd save yourself a lot of trouble. Even in your position and do and leave that, you'd save yourself a lot. Because God somehow will bring you back to that life.
Right.
You'd save God a lot of trouble, you'd save yourself a lot of trouble. I would say a lot of, Sister Rhonda is Sister Rhonda, and I cannot so. And I remember Sister Rhonda. Sometimes you might find me laughing alone, and it just words that Sister Rhonda throws to me sometimes. She's she's telling me, and I take all that to the scriptures. She's telling me. You didn't have to do all that, Brother Gumba. You didn't have to do all that, Brother Gumba. You could have just caught. instead of doing that, you get into that. If you didn't want to preach, you could have just caught. Or he's just joking like that. But you see, brother, if I know my position and I stay in my position, I would save myself out of trouble. God has got to bring me back. God has got to bring me back. I was supposed to preach. What I'm saying is, maybe you might not understand this. I was supposed to preach here on Sunday. I thought my sermon is not complete. It has some few things that needs to be put together like that. I needed some few hours. I was to preach in Kenya that night. Now, I went in the midnight to work, around midnight to work at Flowers. That's what I mean. That is pushing me too much. And you don't have time for God leaving. You might sit down and think that you're studying, but you are just dozing there. You understand? You're taking away from God. That's me. I'm talking about myself. You're taking away from God, not knowing. Just thinking that you can do this, you can do this. And you want. And when I went there, I worked and I thought, I'm going to leave at 7. I'm going to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning and come back and go to Canaan for 2 hours and finish that and come back home and study. It comes in the place of work. They are seeing you there. This is not working right and you're the only person who is there. go, but you cannot go. They held me there until around 10 o'clock. And then, the thing to say is, no, I'm gone. That God will take care of that. That's what to do. That's well, don't you remember that the Ark of the Covenant did not fall? It's only that person who died. Leave it. Nothing is going to go wrong. It's not going to fall. God will take care of it. Just do what God said do and leave there. The God will take care of things. And Don, that was very good. That in every time, God has that word for this day, for that time. For that time, even for that time. Do what they said. He can tell you, go kill them all. Or sometimes spare them and divide them between yourself. Whatever it is that time, just do what he says. Yes. I was supposed to go prepare and preach. Then I left there. Coming home, Kiran is telling me he's not even ready. So I'm going to do all that, preparations and things, and change so and things like that. I said, what? Even the trailer? And now I'm caught up because I'm feeling so bad. Because if I'm telling him I'm not going to come, and he cooked, even had cooked for me and my daughter. So he's in moving around. But you see, it's very hard to say no. You've got to say no. You've got to say no. And you've got to somebody might be unhappy, but that's okay. Yeah. Now you got three people. You got two people here to make. Who are you going to make unhappy? Mm-hmm. God or me? God or you? No. Mm-hmm. And Brother Hope came very well at the time. Sometimes we are not able to make people angry because of we studying with it. You start here with the word. You say, "This is what God says." I'm not saying that for all. I'm not saying for what, but. This is what he says, and this is what it is. People might be unhappy or something like that, but start with what God says. God requires people, especially these members of the bride, to be like that. But we want groups. We want big churches. We want all that. We want big names. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. A child of God will start with God, even if he starts alone. I should have done that. That's what I'm saying. And then I looked at those trees when I finally got the trailer, I hooked it up, and I was now complaining to myself, what is this? It's coming to 2 o'clock in the what is this really? The devil is really catching me. And when I went there, the kid showed me what I said, okay, I'm going to cut this. This will be take me 1 hour. And I did that. I did it very well. But he doesn't have the things that you usually have when you're. So everything is, the devil is really trapping me. So before I fell, about 5 minutes, I said, this is not like God. There's something wrong here. This is not like, I should stop now. But okay. Five trees, that's 1 hour. Well, it's not right. And I put that ladder there, and the next thing I know, that's what happened. I'm confessing to you. Let's be on the Lord's side. If there's somebody to make unhappy, let it be the other person, not the Lord. Let it be yourself, not the Lord. That would be my advice. And am I complaining? No. This is good. This is all right. And the fact that I didn't die, God won't be around a bit for his own reason. And that's okay. I'll be a better boy. I'll be a good boy next time. I'll not behave like that. God is bringing me to the right position, and that's all right. I'm very, very happy with him. I love him more. I was having better. I'm giving myself more to him now, and I'm telling him, tell me what to do. I'll just be there. If it's about my life, I will just, anything, I'll just leave, and I'll do it. And I'll be, there's a lot of things that the Lord wants me to do. I've been just doing that, like that. And that idea that I'm a nobody, I'm not doing that, and that's true. I'm not a big person. But when you hear that somebody, a soul, your word, 2 or 3 words helped, that's what God wants. God does not want a crowd of people. And Don, you ask a question here about the prophet was asked, all Roberts and those guys, they really have listeners, people who listen to them. How do you get even somebody to? I would have answered this. There are no people who come. Only the bride, only the people who God ordained for that.
Amen.
You know, there's this quote that says, the last one in, the last one to get in. Now listen, to me, that's maybe arguable, maybe you can talk. But me, to me, the last one has got in. Because people think the last one is somebody who has never heard it and now he's coming in. That's not it. The last one was the last message to be revealed. That was the last one. When it was revealed, that is you. That's you. That's you. This bridal message is you. You, you, is revealed. It doesn't go nowhere else. It just go to that. None of that, it will never go to them. They will never even listen to the prophet when the bride message is being sent out. They will never listen to it will never go to nobody. It does not belong to these other people. It belongs to one group of people, and that's the bride. You might not have nobody listening, but you speak that bride message, the bride hears their name. Yeah. They just can't, they don't know. It's revealed, it's here. It's here, it's revealed, it's come, it's opened. It's opened. It's here. It's opened. It catches its own. You see, names will be God. It will never be like that. It's this message that's opened. The last one has come. This last one. When it touches you, you are that. Because you are made of the same material with that message. I hope that is not very out there. I think it's that simple to us. The same material. What is spoken and what is in you is the same. That's the only thing that makes you come. That's the only thing that makes you love it. That's the only thing that the other person don't like it. He doesn't know why. He's not it. But the prophet says, you cannot deny your own. You cannot deny. When it's spoken, you're going to deny it. You just agree with it. Because you cannot deny your own. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sorry, I'm just talking about myself and how I am, Lord, and confessing that is me in my weaknesses, Lord, and may it not be that anybody else would step on that and stay in it, but let it be a stepping stone that, Lord, somebody can see and he would step away to not step on that, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get into your will, that it will be always be doing your will, things that will make you happy, things that will please you, Lord. Let it be, Father, like our life does. You said that there was a man called David, and he had a desire in his heart. He was in a very bad position in battle. And in that hot place and things, he remembered some water somewhere he used to take when he was taking care of his father's sheep. And he remembered, Lord, that he wished that he would have that water. He desired that water. He didn't say to anybody, but his men went and endangered their lives, Lord, to go get that water to fulfill the desire of their master. You see, the slightest desire of our master, Jesus Christ, you'll be a great commandment in us, Lord. Let it be, Father, that's the case with each one of us, Lord. That whatsoever we think you desire, that will be our desire to do it, to fulfill it, to make you happy, Lord God, in our lives, Lord. For our shortcomings, Father, take them to the sea of forgetfulness. Let each one of us stand before you, Father, as pure and Lord, without any sin in them. In all things, Lord, we give glory and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.